become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. Welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. This is episode 2 of ETL Daily. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. I am back. I am the J-Strom, ready to talk to you about things that happen every day in entertainment, TV, stuff like that. And I'm really excited. This is actually a Tuesday, which means tonight is the series finale of Sons of Anarchy. Now, I have had a rocky relationship with the Sons of Anarchy, which is I really loved season 1 and 2, and I think season 3. It's been going on for like 7 years, so I forget when I started to become jaded. I almost began to just kind of roll my eyes at the show because so many just tragic things would happen to the characters. I'm talking like, you know, someone's kid gets kidnapped and somebody gets killed and somebody gets arrested. People getting put in prison for most of the season. A drug cartel is trying to kidnap your wife. She's a surgeon. Her hand gets smashed. She may not perform surgery ever again. It's just like things kept stacking and stacking and stacking where these tragic things. It's kind of like Swiss Family Robinson or the Wilderness Family. I can't even remember which one where this family lives in the wilderness. They live off the grid, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they were hiding from the FBI or something. But a bear would attack. A blizzard would happen. They were stuck. A wildcat, a cougar or something would attack them. A fire, a monsoon, pirates, you know, just like, oh, come on. Can these people have just a relaxing, quiet evening at home, please? But that's what Sons of Anarchy. But, okay, I understand. TV shows need conflict. They need drama. But I almost felt like It's almost like the viewer can only handle so much before they're like, come on. But it's different with Sons of Anarchy, the final season. I've been watching it. And, you know, at one point I let like 3 episodes stack up. So I watched those 3 in a row. But it's all coming to an end. And by the time people listen to the show, if you watch the show, you will already know the ending, and so will I. And I'm just curious as to, I don't know, I don't expect it to be the kind of thing where I'm like, man, that was pretty awesome. I expect it to be like, wow, that was really sad. Just like this whole season has been a lot of tragedy. I almost expect, you know, I always heard that Kurt Sutter, who created the show, based a lot of it on Shakespeare. Like, I believed it was Macbeth. Some people have now said, oh, it's like Hamlet. So it's like Shakespeare. Let's just say that. I don't know which he was going for. But as we all know, everyone dies when it's Shakespeare's involved. So I expect everyone to die tonight. And I don't expect Jax's children to die. I think they'll be okay, but I expect them to be messed up for the rest of their lives. Maybe not the young one. The he's practically a baby, a toddler, but the one named Abel who's already hurting himself with forks and stuff. That kid's pretty much damaged for life, I think. I think that kid needs a lifetime of therapy, or he's going to shoot up a school eventually. So they need to get that kid some help. So, one thing I will say this about the show, it's always had great acting. Charlie Hunnam has been fantastic. So has Katie Sagal as, Gemma. And, the supporting cast of characters, love those guys. And, the show, I'm going to say, I've actually thought it had been ready to end for a while. Once, the main bad guy, I think it was last season, or when Ron Perlman's character, when his chapter was over, I think it was time for the show to end. But I mean, I know he wasn't the main character, but they just had to keep making horrible things happen for the rest of the, cast, the rest of the family. So anyway, I hope, I just hope it's a good finale. It's cool when something's memorable. Like, for instance, I'm curious. One thing that happens in finales, series finales, is they're very polarizing. Where when something ends, most people either loved it or they hated it. Or possibly they just don't feel anything. I don't know. For instance, the easiest one to bring up is Lost. Polarizing. People loved it or they hated it. Or they were just confused. Battlestar Galactica, same way. Loved it, hated it, or they're confused. Sopranos, a lot of people hated it because it just, the way that ends. I don't want to spoil any. I'm actually kind of gun-shy now because I realized that I spoiled a few things on the last episode for Chuck that I was talking about. And I didn't mean to. In fact, on the last episode, previous episode, Adam was the guest and we were talking about Chuck and I pretty much wasn't going to be in the show and until I listened back to it and I was like, yeah, I'll keep this in. It was a good conversation, but I spoil some things. It's not real dramatic things. It's not even a main character that something happens to that I mention, but I don't like things spoiled for me. So I apologize for that. So I'm not going to spoil anything for you with The Sopranos, but I will say that it was very polarizing also. Breaking Bad. I'm not sure that was real polarizing. I thought that was a bitchin' finale. The entire run of that show is a freak of nature, though, where it was just awesome from beginning to end. In fact, anybody who hasn't watched Breaking Bad, binge watch it from beginning to end. That's going to be a incredible like week of your life or 2 weeks, however long it takes you to watch the entire run of that on Netflix. It's going to be awesome. I recommend it highly. Okay, so today I do have a special guest, and it's funny that it just happens to be Adam, but not the same Adam. It is Adam from the Bay Area, and he will be on the show a little bit later. But right now, I thought I would talk about some of the news stories that are out there. And you know what? I don't even have to prepare for the show like that. It just happens automatically. Things just happen every day in entertainment news that I want to talk about. Or I start to roll my eyes off. And I that's almost my barometer now. If I roll my eyes at something, I'm like, hey, it is time to talk about this. Now, the first one is this. We even did a show of the Star Wars The Force Awakens. And I realized in the last show I said The Force Unleashed a couple of times. Forgive me. I'm just kind of talking a mile a minute. But there's a news story out there, and it's gotten ridiculous, okay, everybody? I keep seeing it on Facebook or whatever, and now it's even gotten to angry faces of George Lucas. This is so funny. The story basically is George Lucas has not watched The Force Awakens trailer. And I've even seen this headline. George Lucas is just not that into you, J.J. Abrams. And the picture is hilarious. It looks like George Lucas is making an angry face. like effing J.J. Abrams. So this is on a website called Page Six. So take that's how little you know. I don't. It's horse shit. So let's listen to this. The movie trailer for director J.J. Abrams' upcoming Star Wars: The Force Awakens, not Unleashed, Jason, is on pace to become the most watched preview of all time online, with up to a reported 72 million views in 1 week. Now, you know where this is going, right? Okay, here we go. But one person hasn't seen the trailer. George Lucas. That's right. George Toy Boy Lucas. The original Star Wars creator astonishingly told Page Six, yeah, he talked directly to you guys, when we asked him what he thought of Abrams' 88-second teaser, they're lying. He didn't talk to you. You read the story somewhere else. The original Star Wars creator astonishingly told Page Six, when we asked him what he thought of Abrams' 88-second teaser that's managed to dominate popular culture. Okay. I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen it. When we further asked Lucas why he hasn't seen the clip, he explained, because it's not in the movie theater. I like going to the movies and watching the whole thing there. I plan to see it when it's released. The trailer was in fact shown in 30 North American theaters over Thanksgiving weekend by Regal Entertainment, AMC Cinemark, and Carmike Cinema Chains. But if Lucas meant he'll see the film when it's released, he'll be waiting until a whole year from now. Yeah, so will we. What is your point? Basically, here's what George Lucas said. No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it when it's in theaters. I can't wait to see it. You know, for the first time ever, George Lucas gets to see a Star Wars film he had nothing to do with. He can just have the story unfold like any other movie. He gets to be a viewer of a Star Wars movie. He's never gotten to do that. Think about it. When you know the story, when you know everything that's happening, you're there on the set, you see all the actors. When you watch the finished film, you've put it together. It's not as exciting as someone who went in not knowing. This guy was in on Star Wars in 1977 before anybody, okay? He has seen the film. He didn't get to experience what everyone else did, which is awe and wonder. He was the guy behind the curtain. For the first time ever, he doesn't have to be the guy behind the curtain. He's a theater goer. So that's what he's saying here. But they've turned it into, oh, George Lucas, he hasn't seen the trailer. You know why? He wants to kick J.J. Abrams' ass. That's why. He's going to beat the shit out of that guy. He stole Star Wars from George Lucas. That son of a bitch! Kill him! Yeah, it's like, no, I don't think that's what the story is. But it's cool to turn things into a story, right? Oh! That was a weak punch. So, that's what we have there. Oh, and it says also, a year ago, Lucas's son, Jet Lucas, okay, said in an interview that his dad, who's credited as a creative consultant on the new film, was constantly talking to J.J. and that J.J. was hand-picked. But when asked, when Page Six, asked Lucas if he was curious to see what Abrams has done with the new Star Wars, Lucas said, not really. Among the countless YouTube spins on Abrams' trailer, Funny or Die posted a video imaging Lucas unhappy. Oh, I haven't seen that. Disney bought Lucasfilm. Okay, here we go. Disney bought Lucas from okay, we know all that. Jet said his dad was very torn on the matter of selling and was working on his own new Star Wars films before the sale to Disney. He directed the last three Star Wars movies. Yeah, we know. Shut up. After directing the 1977 original, we know, and was an executive producer on all the films in the franchise until now. The newest was written by Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan. Lucas spoke to us at Bloomberg's 85th anniversary, which he attended with his wife, Dreamers So anyway, it's just a funny story. A couple of people have actually posted this on Facebook where they're like, haven't we been too hard on George? It has nothing to do with that. It's just a fake story. Here's another one. This is on Entertainment Weekly. George Lucas has really parted ways with Star Wars. So why are we mad? Letting go of something you created can't be easy, but it must especially be difficult for someone who conjures up an entire galaxy in his imagination, only to one day release his grip and leave it in the hands of another generation. Page Six recently I stand corrected. Maybe it was Page Six who did the story. I thought they'd just gotten it from the AP Newswire, but okay. Page Six recently caught up with George Lucas and asked what he thought of the 88-second teaser trailer for J.J. Abrams' Star Wars: The Force Awakens, the first film to be made from the franchise without its creator involvement. His response has fans gasping like Jabba with a chain around his neck. I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen it yet. Oh my God! What could it mean, you guys? He hasn't seen it. That obviously, J.J. Abrams hurt his feelings. Since everyone has practically seen the trailer, it is somewhat astonishing that the man who invented Star Wars hasn't taken the time to click on YouTube. In some circles, this is being criticized as a banthasized diss by literally not recognizing The Force Awakens. Lucas has again found himself on the bad side of a lot of Star Wars fans. When pushed for an explanation at the 85th anniversary party for Bloomberg Business Week, the retired Star Wars master implied he's just one of those movie geeks who doesn't like spoilers. Why hasn't he watched it? Because it's not in the movie theater. That's another thing George Lucas is saying. It is true. He's a huge movie geek like Martin Scorsese. Let me ask you guys this much. Do you think Martin Scorsese watches YouTube trailers? Think about it for 2 seconds. If you know anything about Martin Scorsese, he does not go on YouTube and watch movie trailers. And I completely, these are old school guys. You think George Lucas attended USC? He's a big film geek guy. He watches friggin' black and white train movies on his TV in his office. Is going on YouTube to watch movie trailers? No! He watches them in a friggin' movie theater! So it's completely understandable. So when people are like, I like going to movies, or what he says is, I like going to the movies and watching the whole thing there. He added that he doesn't intend to keep The Force Awakens off his radar forever. I plan to see it when it's released. End of story. That's all it means. If I was a journalist and I ran a shitty movie website, this is what my story would be. Awesome. George Lucas can't wait to see Star Wars in the theater. For the first time ever, he's not the man behind the curtain. He gets to enjoy it just like everyone else does. I can't wait to hear what he says. It's interesting. That's an interesting take on it. Yeah. So if you think about it that way, that's really cool. I'm excited for George that he, for the first time ever, gets to see Star Wars like the rest of us. But I guess we all know it is. It's more entertaining for these dickheads to make it into this incredible thing. But you need to see that Page Six story. Look it up on Google just to see the face they put on George Lucas. He was probably about to sneeze or something, and they went... And it's like, oh, he looks like he's pissed. He wants to kick J.J. Abrams' ass. It's like, oh, kiss my ass. Kiss my ass! All right, so here's another story. On the last show, I talked quite a bit about DC and how DC are successful doing TV now. We know Marvel is super successful in the movie realm. But DC, again, has announced a new show. Remember, right now they have, of course, The Flash, Green Arrow. They also have Gotham and Constantine. And they've also announced next year on the CW there will be a Supergirl show. I'm pretty sure Supergirl will probably be, what is, are teens or... 20s, early 20s. I don't know. I think that's cool for someone who has a daughter who's 10 years old. She and someone who She watched the Back to the Future trilogy recently. She watched all three movies. And she, honestly, she said she wondered why... she wondered why Marty's girlfriend wasn't more in the movie. And I realized, oh my God, she really needed a female character to identify with in that movie. That's a boy's movie. And, you know, the third one, it has Clara in it, which is great. But she needs an, you know, girls need their heroes too. And damn it, we need a Supergirl show. Why the hell not? So anyway, Superman. Okay. So anyway, DC, I guess, has announced that they're doing a sci-fi show called Krypton. Now, here's what the story is. The world of Superman is headed back to TV. A Superman prequel series called Krypton from Man of Steel writer David S. Goyer has landed in development. It's sci-fi. Okay, David S. Goyer, a lot of people love him or hate him, but he's co-written the Batman movies, right? I mean, I personally did not hate the Man of Steel, as I've said before. So, take that. He's not going to write every episode of the show, probably. Here's the pitch. Years before Superman legend we know, the House of El was shamed and ostracized. This series follows the Man of Steel's grandfather as he brings hope and equality to Krypton, turning a planet in disarray into one worthy of giving birth to the greatest superhero ever known. This sounds a lot like a Gotham. It's like Gotham, Bruce Wayne is like a kid. And this, I guess, you know, Superman can't be born until the finale, right? So, Goyer was previously rumored to be working on such a project, but without a network or any details publicly attached. Goyer and Ian Goldberg, who does Once Upon a Time, will executive produce the project, with Goldberg writing a pilot script based on a story by both men. In addition to Man of Steel, Goyer's credits include Da Vinci's Demons, Constantine, the upcoming Man of Steel sequel, Batman vs. Superman. I thought it was Batman v. Superman. What the hell? The project comes on the heels of Fox's Batman prequel, Gotham, breaking out as one of the fall's top-rated new shows. So, anyway, is that a good idea, or is that a good or bad idea, Krypton? I don't know. I mean, I have seen every episode of Gotham, I'll tell you that much. I've at least watched it every week, and I find it entertaining. But it is a little frustrating where I'm like, why isn't there just a Batman show? We could stand it. Think about like this. There's, you know, if you watch Arrow, which I still don't know why it's not called Green Arrow, but if there was a Batman show with a dude playing Batman and it doesn't have to be a big movie production, and then they had Batman movies that had nothing to do with the show, do you think our brains could handle it? Could we? I mean, in comic books, they have multiple Batman titles and they're different storylines, different artists doing it, different writers. I think I could handle it. I do. I think everyone else could too, but I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I don't know. There's that famous bit about, when Superman, the movie was coming out, the, Richard Donner version with, Christopher Reeve. Okay. Jack Larson was on a radio show. He played Jimmy Olsen in The Adventures of Superman in the '50s, that show. And he was on, I believe, a radio show or something. He was on some kind of meeting where they needed the rights for some stills of Jack Larson as Jimmy Olsen. And the guy on the phone was a total dick to him. And he basically said, we don't want people thinking about that Superman anymore. We've got a new Superman. And that was a long time ago, but I honestly think studios still think the same way, where we don't want people to be thinking about a TV Batman. We want them to think of a movie Batman. We want to get their ass in the theaters, when they don't realize people will eat all the shit up all the time. It's almost like the publishing industry, where they tell writers, like, you're going to glut the market, like Stephen King. You're putting out too many books, so we're going to release one book every 8 months. When in reality, people read shit every week. you finish a book in a week or 2 weeks, you're ready to read another book. And if it was available, you would, and you would buy it no matter what. But they seem to think that they'll glut everything. You'll glut the market, or you'll... They don't realize the appetite of everyone, which is voracious. We will eat that shit up. If there was a Batman TV show right now on... hopefully it wouldn't be sci-fi, but... relatively modest budget. If you guys watch any... like something like Game of Thrones... they do what they can with effects and they make it look great. If they did a Batman show on HBO, I don't know if that would happen. It'd probably be on a network, but even Gotham looks fantastic. You could easily add Batman into that show or something. I think we would eat it up. And when a Batman movie came out with a different actor, different director, it had nothing to do with the show, we would go see it also. I honestly believe that. I'm curious to what you guys think. If you think that or otherwise, let me know at dimpodcast@gmail.com or join the Entertainment Landfill fan club, and we'll talk about it. Okay, did you guys enjoy those stories so far? Those aren't the only stories, baby. I got more of them. And this one was everywhere for one day. It already disappeared. That's what happens. They disappear quickly. But real quick, before I get to that story, did anyone else watch The Walking Dead finale? I'm curious as what you thought of it. I want voicemail on this show also. So if you want to send any voicemail at nimpodcast@gmail.com, I will play it on the show and talk about it. Or you could call 1-206-309-4729, which I need to do. I haven't done it in a while, and I hope it doesn't reset.
This is our Entertainment Landfill voicemail. If you'd like to have this played on the show, just speak your thoughts and tell us what you think about stuff.
Okay.
Thank you again for supporting Entertainment Landfill. We appreciate it.
That's sweet.
Hey, give us that message now. Woo! Wait with me.
Hey, goofball. Hey, Entertainment Landfill. This is Jason. I sometimes listen to your show on my phone while I'm grocery shopping. Sometimes people look weird at me when I'm going through all the vegetables and the vegetable section, and I like to get bananas. Don't you hate when bananas get black specks on them so quickly? There's gotta be a way to get bananas that aren't like that. But anyway, love the show. Keep it up.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To re-record, press 2. To review your message,
I'm totally satisfied with that.
Goodbye.
See you later. Okay. And then I will immediately be emailed this voicemail. Technology is amazing, you guys. There it is. Boom. Got it. And I could listen to that horrible message that I left myself anytime. If I'm lonely, I could just talk to myself. Pretty cool, huh? So... Okay, here's the story that I was meaning to get to a second ago. And let me type it in the little computer. Huh? Here is the story, you guys. I'm not sure anyone caught this yet who cares. This is my favorite part of stories like this. They all have different headlines. Okay, here's the story. Roberto Orci will no longer direct Star Trek 3. Or, how's this? Roberto Orci beaming off Star Trek as director. Roberto Orci won't direct Star Trek 3. That was more to the point. Roberto Orci won't direct Star Trek 3 after all. See, kind of trick it up. Another one, Roberto Orci off Star Trek 3. Get the latest. And, of course, director Roberto Orci drops out of Star Trek 3. Not as exciting. Or Roberto Orci no longer directing Star Trek 3. Updated. I think we need to click on the one that's updated. Okay, here we go. Roberto Orci is no longer directing Star Trek 3. Okay. Just months after getting the job, Roberto Orsi is leaving the captain's chair. Ah, clever. Deadline reports that Orsi has stepped down as the director of Star Trek III. Orsi, a writer and producer on 2009's Star Trek and last year's Star Trek Into Darkness, got the gig after J.J. Abrams flew away to direct Star Wars Episode VII, The Force Awakens, which trailer has recently hit YouTube, but George Lucas hasn't watched it yet. Okay, I added that part. Word on the street said that Orsi had lobbied hard to take over the franchise, so this news comes as a surprise. Surprise, surprise, surprise! Ah! There's no official reason given at press time for his exit, although he's still going to be listed as a producer on the film. Star Trek III was meant to be Orsi's directorial debut after years of writing and producing with former partner Alex Kurtzman, with whom he parted ways earlier this year. When the hell did that happen? I see Kurtzman and Orsi on everything! How am I gonna live with these guys not together anymore? What has this world come to? What the hell, man? Update. Sources have told Badass Digest that production was shut down last month due to disagreements over the direction of the script, which Orsi was writing with Patrick McKay and J.D. Payne. The story allegedly followed the Enterprise, the Vulcans, and an unnamed new alien race as they race to get their hands on a time travel device. The Vulcans want the device so that they can go back and stop the destruction of their home planet, which would be Vulcan, as shown in the 2009 movie directed by J.J. Abrams, who is now directing Star Wars Episode VII, The Force Awakens, which George Lucas hasn't watched yet on YouTube. And presumably, the time travel conceit is what would allow young and old Kirk, Chris Pine, and William Shatner, oh, is that who that was? To come face to face. That script, which would essentially cancel out the two previous pictures and reset the Star Trek universe yet again, may have been jettisoned along with Orsi. Now the question is, who will take over? Paramount Pictures reportedly has a short list of directors it's reaching out to, and one name allegedly on that list is none other than, boom, Ant-Man's Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright quit Ant-Man because he was pissed at Marvel. Star Trek III is scheduled to come out in 2016, just in time to celebrate the franchise's 50th anniversary, so the studio wants to get this right. Do you think it was the script or the fact that Orsi has never directed a single piece of film before that led to his departure? Are you glad or disappointed that he's no longer at the helm of Star Trek III? And finally, who should direct the movie now? Courtesy of Slash Film. Okay, guys, here's how I feel about it. Roberto Orsi. Roberto! Hey, Roberto! Him and Kurtzman, they've been, I think, did they start? I don't want to look at IMDb right now, okay? I believe that those guys came out of Alias with J.J. Abrams. And they've been writing ever since. They created one of my favorite shows of all time. No, not Chuck. Fringe. I absolutely love Fringe. They co-created it with J.J. One of my favorite shows ever, probably, it's There with Chuck. So I don't completely hate the guys. I do hate some of the movies they've written, which are, I don't blame them for taking the cash and writing the Transformer movies. Who knows? Maybe if Michael Bay ordered them to write a second draft, that would have been better. I'm kidding. I don't know how many drafts there were. But do I want... Does the script that they reportedly didn't want sound good? No. I no more time travel, guys. Just the last film ended, the one with Khan, Benedict Cumberbatch's Khan. It ended with them finally going on the 5-year mission, okay? They rebooted the friggin' franchise. They created a new timeline. Have them just go and explore space, okay? No more Vulcans. They almost set it up. They were on the brink of war with Klingons. How's a Klingon war movie? That shit would be badass. We don't need time travel anymore, guys. Okay? And in fact, keep Roberto Orsi and that Kurtzman guy away from it. Get some new blood in there for the third one. I really wanted Matt Reeves to direct it. He's like the, came from the JJ camp. He did Cloverfield. He did the Let the Right One In. He did the friggin' fantastic ape movie, Let Me In. Not the Let the Right One In, sorry. He did Cloverfield, Let Me In, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which was fantastic. I loved Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I thought it was really good. A lot of people were like, oh man, the other guy quit. It's going to suck ass. And it didn't. Matt Reeves picked up the ball that was dropped, and he kicked some ass, okay? Rupert Wyatt, who did Rise of the Planet of the Apes, quit because of some reason. I don't know. Maybe he was like, all right, I've had enough monkeys. How? Get Rupert Wyatt to do Star Trek. Why not? I'm just saying that there are other good directors out there that they could have do this shit. Honestly, you know, I'll go see any Star Trek movie when it comes in the theater. Am I that excited or do I care right now? No. You know why? Because the Star Wars trailer just came out and I'm excited about that shit. And that's only a year away. This shit's 2016. It'll work it out. Hell, give Peyton Reed the job after he's done with Ant-Man. Well, why am I laughing like that? It's creepy. So anyway, yeah, so that's that story there. Roberto Orsi quit Star Trek. What was funny is on Facebook I saw several people post that, and many of the first comments were, thank God. Really, nobody wanted that to happen. I don't have anything against the guy. I'm sure he's a good writer and stuff. He's, unfortunately, when you look at his resume, all you can see glaringly staring at you are the Transformer movies. And that does not make you want to see, hey, look, give this guy the ability to direct. Okay, just so if people aren't familiar with Roberto Orsi, this is the things that he's written. First of all, I absolutely loved Alias. Great show. He wrote for that, which, fantastic. He also wrote for Xena and Hercules. Those are fun shows. Okay, screenplays. He wrote The Island, Michael Bay's The Island, Legend of Zorro, Mission Impossible 3, Transformers, 2009 Star Trek, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Cowboys and Aliens. Oh boy. He wrote for Fringe. Great show. He's a co-creator of Fringe. Love that. Can't hold that against him. He wrote Star Trek Into Darkness. Co-wrote it. Come on. A lot of people wrote that. Okay, here's where I'm just like, oh boy. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Okay. I just thought about it. This is interesting. He created the show called The Matador. DEA agent Tony Bravo is recruited by the CIA, by a talent agency, is recruited by the CIA to participate in tryouts for the LA riot in order to spy on the team's corrupt owner. So he's a spy who's playing an athlete. Interesting. Oh, that's on El Rey. Okay, no wonder I've never heard of it. Okay, executive producer of Hawaii Five-O, executive producer of Scorpion. So he does a lot of TV, okay? And he knows how to make TV, apparently. So, yeah. He wants to direct. Maybe direct a small film, buddy. Don't start with Star Trek. Have you guys heard about Wayward Pines? This show sounds kind of interesting. Wayward Pines is based on the first installment in author Blake Crouch's book series titled Pines. The TV series revolves around Secret Service agent Ethan Burke, played by Matt Dillon, who goes searching for two missing federal agents in a small town of Wayward Pines. However, it doesn't take long before Ethan realizes that this mysterious Idaho-based slice of old-style living is not all that it appears to be on the surface. Crouch's source novel was adapted for the small screen by Chad Hodge, who did The Playboy Club, which we all watched, right? I haven't seen it. With M. Night Shyamalan serving as executive producer and directing a handful of the episodes, beginning with the pilot. Shyamalan's name, unsurprisingly, has been used as a major selling point for the series. The filmmaker has done his part to promote the project, having talked up to the David Lynch-inspired qualities of Hodge's script's work, and his own interest in creating something character-based and darker in tone with the series. Variety is reporting that, as announced by the network and Fox International channels, Wayward Pines will premiere on Fox on Thursday, May 14th next year, at 9 p.m. EST. The program will be rolling out simultaneously in more than 125 countries in Asia, Africa, Australia, Europe, and Latin America, making it the largest day-and-date launch for a scripted series yet. That is to say, no matter how good or not good the actual show turns out to be, it's certainly going to be treated as a true event. Yikes! That's gonna bite them in the ass, isn't it? Well, that's cool. I wonder what they thought when they read that Twin Peaks was coming back, and they're going to do, I mean, I'm not going to call it a Twin Peaks knockoff, but it sounds like they want to do a Twin Peaks type show, doesn't it? I'm not familiar with the source material, so it might be cool. Okay, well, remember I told you that we would soon have Adam on the show, Adam from the Bay Area, so now I'm going to attempt to reach him. Let's see if Adam will answer the phone.
Hello?
Adam?
Hello,
Adam. This is Jason. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay! Hey, Adam.
What's up, man? How are you?
Adam Sexton. How's it going? Oh, wait. Sorry.
What? No, I know it's Adam Howard from the Bay Area.
Oh yeah, there's too many Adams. I'm sorry. You know what's funny is I had like $11 in Skype credit for years, and how bogus is this, man? If you don't use it, it expires. How does money expire?
What a racket. What a complete racket.
And so I go to call you, and it says, you have no Skype credit. And I was like, what? And so I had to buy Skype credit to call you.
How much does it even cost for that stuff?
Well, here's what you could do. It's actually really cheap if you make calls all the time. It's like $2.99 a month for unlimited calls, which isn't bad at all, except I never call anyone, right?
Yeah, that would be pointless. Yeah.
So I just bought like $10 worth, and it cost you, when I dialed you, it cost me 10 cents. So I'm getting my 10 cents worth, buddy, okay, in this phone call.
Right on. What are you up to today?
Today, I've just been talking about film, television, pop culture stuff. No,
like,
I've been talking
like
about different,
normally do.
Different news stories that have been driving me crazy. And
like what?
Okay, I don't know if you've read this one. Let me call it up again because it's so funny. It's funny the way the headline is written. This is gonna freak you out when I tell you this.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Bring it to me. Hit me with it.
George Lucas has not seen the new Star Wars trailer.
He hasn't responded to it at all. I mean, what are we going to do about this?
The picture that they keep showing is, it looks like he's mad. His face. It's so funny. He looks like he's going, and
yeah,
here's another one. This headline. Listen. George Lucas doesn't care about the new Star Wars trailer. Wow.
How dare he?
If you read it, though, if you read the story, he says, I'm waiting to see it in the theater.
Right. I actually just read this article because I knew you were going to call. So I hopped on my Zeit app on my phone, which just has like a bunch of different. Kind of like, have you heard of the app? Have you heard of Zeit?
Zeit?
Yeah, Z as in zebra, and then I-T-E. It's similar to Flipboard, but it's kind of like, it's a bunch of articles and blog posts from around the web excuse me, and it's all kind of centered to your taste in like similar to TiVo. So you get an article, you thumbs up it, thumbs down it, and then they'll give you more articles, like or, you know, not like it. So all it's a pretty cool app. You should check it out. But I was on there, you know, because you were about to call, and I happened to see that story. It was just, you know, like you and Bill have been talking about a lot lately. It's like these stories are just kind of like there's no facts. You know what I mean? They're like the only fact is they say, have you seen it yet? And he was like, no, I'm going to wait till it's in the movie theater.
Right.
And now everybody's like kind of replying to that, you know, and it's just kind of
all
really...
he's saying is, oh, this is the way I look at it. Do you picture George Lucas hopping on YouTube to watch trailers?
No, probably not. I mean,
he doesn't watch trailers on YouTube. He watches them in friggin' screening rooms, grand theaters and stuff, you know?
Yeah, true. Very true. Yeah. I would think like if it was me personally, but I'm obviously much different and, I don't have the same, I mean, that dude's life is crazy, and he's had this crazy run with Star Wars. So for me, I'd be like, well, how could you not check it out? You know, I would want to see it big time. I'd want to see what they're doing. But I think maybe he honestly, and maybe this is why the prequels were so bad and stuff, is that he just really doesn't care much about it anymore. Maybe. I don't know. It's weird. Like,
I honestly
or maybe
think...
he's... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I was talking about this earlier that... He has been behind the curtain for the entire existence for Star Wars. I mean, he created it. What if he wants to experience it like a theater goer and know nothing going in?
I mean, if we take him at his word, then yeah, that's probably exactly what he's doing. Cause he said he's like a film geek like that, where he's like, I don't want to have it spoiled at all. Like, I just want to go see it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny how they turn it into like J.J. Abrams could kiss my ass, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's funny. Like the article that I was reading is kind of interesting. I mean, I was like bored very quickly, so I didn't finish it. But
yeah.
He was saying like, really, the guy can't win. Like he's just not going to be able to win with Star Wars fans at all because you can't make everyone happy. And if he was all over the moon about it, people would probably react negatively for reasons A, B, C, or whatever. And then he's not into it yet. So it's like, you know, so now everyone's kind of freaking out and thinking that he's mad at J.J. Abrams or just trying to pose it like.
And I don't even know, yeah, if people think that, but the news stories are spinning it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's probably not that way at all. It's just.
It's really
you know,
dumb.
It's goofy. These stories are goofy.
Yeah, it's really
very,
stupid.
Very silly.
I laugh so hard because the face he was making in one, it just looks like he's like so pissed off. It's a website called Page Six. It says George Lucas is just not that into you, JJ, and that's the name of the thing. As a picture of George Lucas making an angry face, and on the right you see poor JJ Abrams like smiling, like hey. And it's like, gee, George Lucas hates your guts.
I wonder if, like, if J.J. Abrams is at home crying right now. Like, my idol, I couldn't impress him enough to click on YouTube. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
Obviously, it's probably not going down that way.
George Lucas, know? He's going to watch it in the theater and be wowed by it. He's retired from Star Wars. It's just funny.
Yeah. I think it's a good, I think you're probably right. Like he's like always been behind the curtain and always had to make all the decisions and calls and whether or not everyone likes those calls or whatever, that's all aside. I think maybe he does just want to sit back and let the movie come to him.
Yeah,
as you would say.
That's it. You've got it. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. So what else is out there in the blogosphere?
Well, tonight is the series finale of The Sons of Anarchy. Have you ever watched that show?
Yeah, my wife is big into it. I could never really get into it.
It's a pretty dark show and very violent.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of it. And what April has complained about to me is that, like, in the first couple of seasons, it's... yeah, there's some drama going on there, obviously, but there's a lot of like kind of like lighthearted and like charming, funny stuff.
Yeah.
And then she's like, man, in the later seasons, it's just they're trying to make it so intense that there is like no moments for any of that kind of charm that kind of kept her coming back to it, I suppose.
Yeah, big time. No, I agree. I've said the same thing pretty much, that I love the earlier seasons of Sons of Anarchy, and I rolled my eyes quite a bit at the later seasons. And because it just, bad things keep happening, people keep dying, it gets more and more violent, it just is ridiculous.
Yeah, I kind of like it on these type of shows when it's really, really heavy for about 3 to 4 episodes, maybe even 5 episodes, and then like they'll finally kind of find a little bit of resolve, and then it it resets. Everything, you can kind of find hope in whatever's going on, and then it kind of rolls into another storyline. But it seemed like that one never, from what April was telling me, it never kind of got back to its charming place. It was just like more serious, and then another serious thing, you know. But hey, that's how it goes when you're in a biker gang.
I read a couple of TV reviewers, you know, all the time. And there was one, it's a woman named Mo Ryan. She writes for Huffington Post now. She used to write for TV Squad, and I followed her to different websites as she would go. But she followed Sons of Anarchy religiously the first, like, 4 seasons, I guess. And she wrote about every episode, and I'd read what she thought. And finally, I think it was after the 4th or so, she said, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I used to love this show, but it's lost its place. It just is spinning its wheels most of the time, and it's just shocking to be shocking." And I was like, "Wow, wow, she's done." And now I can't read. I'm curious to see if she'll write one final thing, or if she did indeed quit it forever.
What season is this of that show? Is it the 6th?
I believe it's 6th? Season 7.
Wow.
It's been on for 7
crazy.
Years.
I know a lot of people that follow that. I mean, like, they're really into it. Like, they're very, very in deep on it. But I started out watching it, and that's typically what happens with shows for me. If I'm not all the way into about the 2nd or 3rd season, I'm like, it's not holding me. I'm like, I can't. Can't do it anymore.
Can you sing the theme song?
No, I can't. I have no idea how it goes. Can you sing it? I hope you will.
Through this world, all alone. And it goes, the crow flies straight, bang, 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 the perfect line, down, bang, bang, bang. Come on, do you know that?
No, I know. But while you were singing it, I kept thinking of Ross singing the Hotel Hell.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
You know what's funny
Go ahead.
I play a game when I watch Sons of Anarchy. I try, whenever the show begins, eventually there'll be a couple of scenes or whatever, or they'll do a montage, and then you hear that sound, and it goes, riding through this world. Well, I try to pick up the remote and fast forward it before they start singing. That's my game I play. And sometimes I'm like, oh, damn, I heard the riding through this. And I'm like, oh, no, fast forward, because I don't want to hear the song, right?
Yeah.
The last episode, I was like, you know what? I'm never going to see this show again. I'm going to let the theme play all the way through. And it was like a farewell. And I let it go. And in fact, I sang along with it.
So wait, I thought you said it was going to be tonight was the finale. You've already seen it? Or
No. The finale is tonight, but I'm planning on skipping the theme song.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I do little games like that, too. There's this one political commercial on about a month ago on Hulu Plus. They would air the commercial, and it was all about like how one politician, like this politician does the bad thing, but the one that this commercial is for does a good thing. And then after every good thing that they would say about the politician's commercial, like, it would go, bling, bling, like, and make this little, like, text noise.
Uh-huh.
And it would drive me insane, like, because it was on one night, like, 3 or 4 times in a row. And I was so frustrated that I would always, like, stumble around the room and, like, look for the remote and try to, like, mute it before the first. So I know what you're going through with trying to mute that stuff.
I think I know what you're talking about, and I don't know why it made that sound.
It's kind of like
some kind of cute.
I don't know. It felt like they were going for like a text message type of feel, but also almost like a you got the right answer, like bing. But instead, they were doing like a text message tone. It was just. I don't know why, man. It was one of those ones where, like, Bill says it gives you douche chills. It, like, just made, like, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up and made my blood boil. It was like, and this is such a silly thing to get angry about, but it really did make me pretty angry. I don't know why. It's weird.
I did the same thing on that. I don't know if you've seen this commercial where I think it's an AT&T commercial where it's supposed to be, like, a soap opera with a lady in the hospital and she wakes up like she had amnesia. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen it.
Well, at the very end, this lady shows up. And she goes, "You always get what you want." And the lady goes, "My jealous twin sister." And it goes, dun, dun, like that. And I'm like, oh, please make it stop. So when that commercial comes on, I'm like, no, mute it. I can't hear that. And the lady goes, "My jealous twin sister." I'm like, no. And like part of me dies every time I hear it.
I understand. Hey, speaking of commercials, have you seen the GE Idea commercial? You seen that?
No.
It's like it's really really cool. I want to say that all the effects that they've done in it are practical effects. And I know it's kind of weird to be into commercials, but me and April like rate the commercials because I used to make a lot of me, Roth, and our friend Bill Smith that goes to our church. For our church, we would always make commercials to advertise like new ministries, like, oh, there's a Bible study starting up, or there's a financial class, or there's a men's group. Or so we'd always try to make these funny, goofy commercials to try to get everybody interested in whatever the upcoming events were, you know, so on and so forth. And so I kind of like, it's fun because I've like made a few before, and I'm not trying to say I'm a professional or anything, but it's like, once you kind of get in there and get your hands dirty and try your hand at it, you kind of see where the other people are coming from a little bit more, if that makes sense at all.
Right.
And so anyways, going back to this commercial, it's like the practical effects are really neat. It's about this idea, okay, but he looks kind of like a fuzzy, like mascot type. Looks like a Jim Henson creation, and it's really kind of a cute, thing, and its eyes move really well, and I'm like, if it is practical, if it is a puppet or an animatronic that, like, you know, they used to do back in the day, that is really good. They made it look really cool. But the whole commercial is all about how when ideas are first brought up or come into the world, it kind of scares people, it kind of freaks people out. No one likes the idea because
I know what commercial you're talking about now. I do.
You do? Okay, that commercial, man, it's like, I love it. Like, it's a movie. I think that the way it's done is perfect. The music
is
great.
Gorgeous.
If they tell a little story in like a minute and 15 seconds or so, it's so good, man. I love it. Every time it comes on, it makes me really happy.
Yeah, they do. Commercials, a lot of times, they will have better effects than like TV shows do, you know? I guess because they spend a lot on the production values or something. Because there's sometimes you'll see CGI in a commercial and it's like, damn, that looks good.
I know, it's amazing. Nowadays, I think it's just, it's become more and more accessible and cheaper because of just, it doesn't take much to do those effects as what it used to, like back when they were making Jurassic Park back in 93,
right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, that commercial is really cool. I love it. It's just well done, you know? I know it's silly to be talking about a commercial, but I'm like, it really gets me excited every time I see it.
By the way, since you brought up Jurassic Park, have you watched the new trailer?
I have, man. I was going to launch right into that.
Jurassic World.
My sister started talking to me about it like a few months back. I was just like, lame, another Jurassic Park movie. That's ridiculous. And then I think it was like Thanksgiving while they had the football game on at our family thing that I saw the commercial where the shark is being, brought out into like the SeaWorld type show and the dinosaur comes up and snags it. And it's funny, just that shot made me like, well, that and the fact that Chris Pratt is in it. I really like him from his Parks and Rec days. I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet.
What?
But I want to. But I know.
You have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Hey, wait, it's out on Blu-ray today, Adam.
I know. Oh, really? Just today? Okay, cool. I might go pick it up and maybe try to watch it this evening or something.
Dude, it's fun for the whole family.
I know. See, the deal is my sister and my son Lawrence, they kind of have this thing worked out to where that's like how they spend quality time. My sister will come pick my son up and then take him out to a movie.
Oh,
and
cool.
So we're all for it, like, freeze us up for a few hours or whatever. But then at the same time, we don't get to see a lot of movies with him. You know what
right.
I mean? So
yeah.
She took him to see it, and I don't know if he'll want to see it again, but I may rent it tonight.
Oh, dude, trust me.
Stop by the Red Box.
He will want to watch it again. Trust me.
Okay. Okay, cool. But going back to Jurassic World, after I saw that shark scene, or, you know, where the shark is like the bait or whatever, or the meal for that water amphibian type dinosaur thing.
Right.
It really sparked my interest. And so then every now and then I'll sit down in front of the TV. We got the smart TV. I'll go to YouTube and I'll just look up 2014 or just movie trailers in general. And me and April and the kids are kind of sit and watch them. And that one I'm interested. I didn't think I would be. What do you think about it?
Well, George Lucas never does what you just said you do, which is sit down and watch trailers on YouTube.
That's what we call a callback, Jason, and you just nailed it down.
Nice. Thanks. Well, I watched the trailer, and I was the same as you, where I was like, oh, Jurassic Park? Ooh, you know, yawn.
Yeah.
You know, just not interested. Mm-hmm. I did think the effect of the giant creature coming out and eating the shark was pretty badass.
Me too, man. Awesome.
I like the idea that it doesn't matter how many times they fail, they're going to turn that damn place into an amusement park, all right?
That's what I like about it, because now I've seen, I think there's, what, Jurassic Park, the first one, there's Lost World, there's a third one, and then they stopped after that, right?
Right. There's Jurassic Park, then there's The Lost World, which I hate with a passion. And then there's Jurassic Park 3, which that's the one with pterodactyls, and I thought was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was fun. Remember these people, they're like, what do they call it? They're on a hang glider thing, and they're like, hey, let's go close to the island. And their son is missing, so they hire what is his name? Sam Neill from the first movie. They hire him. They basically kidnap him and bring him to the island, right?
Yeah.
To look for his son.
Was it Dr. Grant?
Yeah, Dr. Grant.
This guy's name.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Grant. And I thought that was, I really like Jurassic Park 3. It's a fun movie. And even the part with like the raptors, they wait till the end to introduce the raptors again. And it's fun. But the second one, I think, is a disaster. Remember, that's where the girl does gymnastics and kicks the raptor.
Yeah. Yeah. That was ridiculous. And it was really heartbreaking for me. Because when I was younger, I don't know if you did this at all, but I used to do this. And I try not to do it anymore. And that's why I get pleasantly surprised at things like the, you know, Jurassic World. Because I used to, like, when I saw Jurassic Park, man, it changed me. Changed me as a fifth grader. It, like, when I saw that these, like, you know, computer-generated dinosaurs, like, I was always kind of a fan of dinosaurs, being that I was only, you know, in fifth grade at the time.
Right,
and the fact that these were interactive, they looked dead-on real to me. There was no jittery lagginess from the claymation or from the stop-motion. It changed me, man. I used to be so into it. I started to read the novel. I bought a bunch of merchandise. I went and saw it in the theater 3 or 4 times. It was a big deal. So then, obviously, you know, Lost World Part 2 comes out, and I'm equally as excited, and I'm holding it up at the same level, assuming it's going to be as good. And it was crushing, man, for it to suck, you know. And then that's why I could barely even enjoy the third one, because it's not going to be like the first one.
Right.
So I should probably rewatch the third one. I'm sure it is.
The
fun.
Third
I mean,
one,
it is good.
I remember, I never saw the third one in the theater. It came out, back then I was a huge home theater nerd, where I would buy DVDs regularly, and I read a stunning, like, audio review of the Jurassic Park 3 audio mix. They were like, oh man, the bass is like booming, yo, it's gonna shake your house. And I'm like, ooh, I gotta check this out. So that's why.
Did you pick it up on laser? Is that what you watched it on? Is that
on? No, on DVD.
Oh, it was on DVD at the time. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that long ago where it was LaserDisc.
Because Jurassic Park was. When Jurassic Park was, I was like,
oh, yeah.
So if you were going to get the good letterbox scan, you're going to have to go on laser.
Yeah, but yeah, I do agree. Jurassic Park is a great film, and I've watched it many times, and I can quote it. I choose not to do it to endorse your island.
Yeah, so many good lines, and it had a good balance of humor and action, and it kind of had that horror type jump, like all the jumps, and like oof, like man, I remember just being really scared and stuff. So yeah, man, Jurassic. I'm like, I can't believe they're trying to make an amusement park out of it again. It's like. It's crazy. I'm really excited for it. When
and
it
they
come
took
out?
A long time before they made this.
That is one big pile of shit.
Nice. Thank you so much, Dr. What's his name?
Dr. Ian Malcolm. I also like when he goes, nailed Ian, it. Freeze!
Me and Ross went and saw that in 3D not too long ago when they brought it back out in 3D.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, was that cool?
It was, you know, you could tell it didn't look very good, but it was still a fun experience. You know, it was, I'm glad we did it. Cause I have in terms of being a movie nerd, like, or just a person, a fan of movies and film more than just your average, like movie goer, that movie like meant a lot to me when I was young, you know? So it was fun to go and watch it in 3D, and I appreciated the effort, and it was neat. It wasn't like breathtaking. It's because, you know, it wasn't shot in 3D. Those are the best.
Yeah, yeah. That I read about Jurassic World. I read, of course, you know, you watch the trailer and you're like, oh, cool, that looks pretty cool. But then you read the negative comments. I don't know if you read it.
No, I don't. I don't choose to go down that path, Jason.
I don't know why
you continue to do so.
Well, for instance, okay, at the end of the trailer, it shows Chris Pratt. Our hero, right? He is riding on a motorcycle with raptors running alongside of him. And people are like, oh, what did he got? Pet raptors or something? That's stupid. No. And nowhere in this trailer did I witness that he has pet raptors.
What an idiot. I mean, it's quick to me from the trailer. I don't know about what you thought, but I assumed they're running away from a giant creature. That's what I assumed. What about you?
I just thought they were running towards the same thing. And it looked like one is interested in him and about to brush up against him. But here's another one. This is the dumbest one, Adam. When they lift up a giant great white shark and they're feeding it to this other creature that jumps out of the water and bites it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg directed the first film, Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
He also directed Jaws. People said, that's an obvious screw you to Spielberg. They're like, oh, you got your Jaws? Boom, our creature just ate your Jaws. Go to hell, Spielberg. What? They thought it was like an F you to Steven Spielberg.
Okay, so... That's so stupid. It's not like this film's coming out in like 1976 or 77, a few years after Jaws. Isn't Steven Spielberg an executive producer on this movie or something like that? Like he's involved somehow, isn't he?
Yes, he is a producer on it.
Gosh, what an idiot. This must have been like a 10th grader that just learned about Steven Spielberg and how he,
People making the film are going to be like, hey, let's say a big F you to our producer.
I mean, honestly, I thought it was so neat that the thing was eating a shark. I didn't pull that together myself.
They're like,
at all.
He's eating
Jaws.
And
if they did, I think it would have just been for poops and giggles, not for an F you.
And the thing is, the guy who's directing this movie, whose name is Colin Trevorrow, I guess. He directed a movie called Safety Not Guaranteed. Have you seen that?
No.
It's starring Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Rec. So I'm thinking he's trying to make movies with all the Parks and Rec people.
cool. I love that cast and crew, man. They're awesome, and almost anything they'll do, I'll check out. And I don't know if I've seen that one. Maybe I'll have to get that on Netflix.
It's a good movie. It's involving actually time travel, or it's about...
cool.
It's about this girl, Aubrey Plaza, who works for a paper, and someone placed a classified ad that they are seeking a time travel companion, safety not guaranteed. And so they're like, who is this nut? Go meet this guy and do a story about him, because he's obviously a freak and it's going to be interesting. So she spends time with this guy who's very quirky and strange, and she starts to wonder if he really does have a time machine. It's a cute movie.
I'm typing it into my notepad on my iPhone right now.
Yeah, it's called Safety Not Guaranteed. Unfortunately, it used to be on Netflix, but I don't see that it is anymore. But okay. It's definitely worth a rental. I thought it was really good and cute, and I liked it. And I guess based on that film, the guy got a gig doing Jurassic World, which is cool.
That's nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited to see. Sorry, Ross is trying to call me on the other line.
Ross. What does he want? Come on. He's totally trying to butt into your airtime on the show.
I know. You see what he does? It's like he can never just let me shine.
He's so jealous sad right now, isn't he? He's like, I wanted to talk Jurassic World.
I'm hoping to be able to see Jurassic World. I always say I'm going to do this, and then like life happens, and I have children and whatnot, so
right.
I get busy. But I really do want to see it 3D D-Box really bad.
Nice.
I think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
so
let me ask you this.
Like $40 a ticket, but it'll be worth it. I'm sorry, bro.
Jurassic World will probably be PG-13, right? Will you take your son to see it?
I will if he thinks he can handle it.
Has he seen Jurassic Park? Has he seen the first one?
No.
Do you think he can handle it? Yeah, that's what you should do. Show him that first, and if he can handle it, you can see Jurassic World.
That's a good idea. And also, speaking of like prepping my son for movies, I've shown him some of the Star Wars earlier when he was younger, but it didn't quite draw him in. But now he's watching stuff like The Flash, and he likes MasterChef Junior. He's playing like the Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U, and he's better than I am almost. It's like, cool. If I want to try to get a higher score than him, I have to like really work at it. I can't just like kind of lollygag like I used to.
Nice.
So I think know it's great. It's very exciting. And I think that he is he's at a good place now. He's almost eight. He'll be eight at the end of January. So I have a question for you regarding that, because I do want to have him sit down and watch. What order do I show it to him in? I'm thinking 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, or maybe even who cares about 1, 2, 3, really. But I don't know. What would you do? Because I'm sure I haven't seen them all at this point.
Yes. Emma, I believe I showed her first. I showed her Star Wars episode four, A New Hope.
A New Hope, yeah.
And Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And she actually got to a point where, I don't know if Lawrence does this, but Emma would watch the same movie over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, like, you know, Monsters, Inc., like 10 times in 1 week or something. She just would get into this mood where she'd rewatch things. She doesn't so much do that now, but she was on a kick where she watched A New Hope many times. Then she'd watch Empire, then Return of the Jedi. And Return of the Jedi was her favorite for a long time, because, come on, it's got Ewoks in it. Then she started watching Phantom Menace. And she would tell me that the Phantom Menace was her favorite. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And I'd be like, no, inside. But I understood. And she would cry when Revenge of the Sith, when Padme would die. And she would say, how did she die? And I'd say, that's a good question. I don't know. She dies of a broken heart, right?
Right.
So I'd let her just make up her own mind, really. And, you know, if say Lawrence loves the Phantom Menace the best, that's fine. I bet when he's older, he'll like Empire Strikes Back the best. You know, it just depends.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. All right, well, I'm going to start taking him through. I have to start doing it, you know. I have a year, so as long as I can kind of slowly get him used to it, and hopefully he'll like it, you know, because I started, like, I think around the time that my cousin passed away, about 2 months ago or so, he was a huge Star Wars nerd, and he's the one that made me, like Star Wars and got me into it, and so I had it on a lot. Just like, you know, to kind of remember him for the good times or whatever. And
no, sorry about that.
And oh no, it's all good. It's fine. But Lawrence, I remember him kind of watching a little bit of it and me explaining the story and stuff, and him being like, "I want to watch that really bad." So hopefully he'll be into it. If not, I may have to do one of those things where I'm like, "It's your bedtime, bro. It's 8:30, unless you want to watch Empire Strikes Back," like that. Just
and
so
you know what,
it, you know?
Dude? Think about it. When The Force Awakens comes out, that might be that film will get so many kids who aren't into Star Wars into Star Wars when they watch it.
Oh yeah, big time.
And
that's
they'll be like,
"I keep wording out." Oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying more?
Oh, it just said, and then they'll want to watch all the other ones.
Oh, yeah, because of that film. That's true. That's a good point, too. That could very well happen. Because obviously he's going with me to see it, you know, when we go see it in the theater and stuff. But
yeah.
What I was thinking is I lost my train of thought about it now. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Never mind. I can't think of it. Hey,
sorry,
so
I interrupted you.
I don't mean to switch things up and derail the show, but how are you feeling about the show A to Z being canceled and Selfie? I know that these shows sound kind of lame, but they're actually really good. They're, like, really funny, and I know that they're, like, romantic comedy shows, but they're funny. Like, I howl. I, like, laugh out loud when I watch them, and then they're both canceled, man. How are you feeling about that?
I'm bummed, and I was happy to see that they put the rest of Selfie, or they're putting the rest of Selfie on Hulu every week. Do you have Hulu?
Right, right. Yeah, we have Hulu Plus, and that's how we've been watching it, and it's awesome. But now that I'm not seeing A to Z, any new ones pop up for A to Z.
No, that one, unfortunately, NBC is just screwing it where it's just canceled. And I enjoy the show, and I think it's fun. They should at least let this whole season play out, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I dug the show. It was a sweet kind of show, and it's funny how they're the guy's boss, they call Big Bird. She's like this horrible lady.
There was this one, I think it was in the pilot episode, where they Andrew, the lead, you know, male character, he was waiting to kind of see if he was going to take it to the next step with the female lead, Zelda. And she's like, "All right, do you want to meet for a drink?" And him and his best friend, Stu, I think his name is, like, Stu's standing over him at the computer, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, yes, she wants to meet me for a drink." And, like, Stu is, like, celebrating, and he's all excited. He's like, "Yay, okay, I got to go take a dump." And, like, I know that that's kind of, like, you know, dirty humor or whatever, but it's real. Like, if you were hanging out with your friend, that's something that would actually happen and be said. And I just thought it was a little details like that. Like, the whole show might be, like, the whole idea of the show, or of one episode, let's say, may be kind of funny. But it's those little idiosyncrasies and things that happen in between that I really love. And I thought that the main, like, the main storyline of where it was going was a neat concept to go from A to Z over the lifespan of a relationship. I was always curious as to if it's successful, how are they going to make a successful season two? But, you know, I'm sure they would have worked that out and stuff. But I do like the characters, and I'm sad to see that show go. It was good. And Selfie, on the other hand, there's a lot of really, like, funny, interesting things that happen. Like, I don't know. It's just good. The humor is really, really good. Like, there's this one part where the boss, because I love the boss on that show that they work for, he's, like, going around the room and telling people to, like, say what they see. And, like, one person says windows because they're not getting what the boss is trying to tell them. Another person says a table or whatever. And there's a blind guy that cuts through, and he's like, just eternal darkness.
Darkness. Eternal darkness.
Dude, it's so funny, man. Yeah. Whoever the writers are on that show, like, it's so good. And
I'm
desperately hoping it gets picked up somewhere else, like maybe a Hulu Plus original, or you know how that'll happen.
I know.
Like,
it was a fun show. And do you remember the one where she has to babysit the secretary's son? And
yes.
She's supposed to feed him nuggets before bed or something. Yeah. And when he cries, he sounds like Eddie Murphy's laugh. He's like, that was so funny. When he would start crying, he sounded just like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's like borderline Adam Sandler moments. You know how Adam Sandler, even in his film, they're kind of like charming and sweet. They just have this crazy random thing that would never happen in real life show up. That's what
just absurd.
It would kind of do that absurdity, but it wouldn't go too far. Like, that's what I really enjoy about it. And I think the girl's cute. I think that she's a good actress, actually. And who cares if it's that will they or won't they? Typical storyline.
I think a lot of people didn't give it a chance because of the name Selfie. I think they're like, Selfie, and they don't understand. Like, they think it's about this vapid girl, but they don't realize it's about her trying to be better.
Yeah, and I think that there's a very famous piece of literature that's got a similar story where a man tries to fix a woman.
My Fair Lady. And there's also, Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, where it's this man trying to make this woman better. And, of course, they're eventually going to fall in love.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's good. It's like, hey, I like falling in love just as much as the next guy. So I like these types of movies or shows. But you're right. I read something similar about an article that was like, no one's going to give it a chance because the name is so the timing of it, it's very just in that now. It won't probably hold up very long. And also, you do think that it's just going to be a silly, stupid thing when you hear the name. Like, April was flipping through because you had texted me a few of the new shows that you and Heather have been watching.
Right.
And so the first one we started on was A to Z. And so then me and April are looking for a show. She's flipping through, and I start to look through my phone to find the other suggestions. And she just played Selfie. And I didn't know that you had recommended it. And so I'm like, April, because April sometimes gets involved in shows that are just like, I cannot believe you watch this stuff. Like, really. And she'll get so sucked in, even if it's 6 seasons long, she'll just watch them all. And it's miserable, and I'll just do other things. I'll work on business or whatever. So I'm like, oh my gosh, Selfie. And she played it, and in about 3 minutes in, I was like, this show is golden. And then the next morning, I looked to see if you what your recommendations were. And sure enough, you had recommended it. And I was like, oh, cool. This is awesome, man.
Yeah.
It was a really good show, so. It's a bummer.
So
I'm bummed about it, dude. Because it's like it's funny, because we're so inundated with entertainment, you were saying Emma would watch the same movie, a couple times a week or whatever for a period of time.
Uh-huh.
My kids don't do that very much because there's so much to watch.
Right.
You don't have to repeat. You can watch a new piece of media every day if you want. And me and April and me in general, same way. I never put on the same movie hardly ever anymore.
Yeah.
But that show, I was like, I could watch this, I could watch the episodes over and over again, like I used to with Friends. It's good. It's good. And I do that with Parks and Rec. I did it with The Office and Friends. And I really felt like it was the same type of vibe. Like, I could watch it repeatedly, but man, bummer. Such a bummer.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, My Fair Lady, Audrey Hepburn played Eliza Doolittle. In Selfie, Karen Gillan is Eliza Dooley. And
that's cool, dude. Nice.
Rex Harrison played Professor Henry Higgins. And on Selfie, John Cho is Henry Higgs. So, they're not, they're pretty much saying, this is My Fair Lady,
Oh, I'm not cultured enough to know that like you are. That's why these interviews are rough. Because you always anytime I'm on the show, it's like you spouting off all these facts. I'm like,
I've got a show for you to check out.
All right.
It might be on Hulu. It's called Playing House. It's about these two ladies. One is pregnant and her husband leaves her, and her friend comes to help her get her life in order. And it's played by these two ladies who, Lennon Parham and Jessica St. Clair. They're so funny. This show is so funny. It's on USA, and, it's like 10 episodes, And it just today got renewed for a season two. And Heather was just like, oh my God, yes, it's coming back. She like loves the show. She loves the show so much that I'm not allowed to delete any of the episodes.
Nice.
It's just like the, whenever I'm feeling bad, I'm going to rewatch this show. And so
that's cool.
I know you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, right?
So good, man. They're firing on all cylinders. Almost every episode has great stuff. Yeah, it's good.
I love that show. Heather and I will so many times, when the show's over, we'll rewind it to the part that made us laugh the most, and we'll rewatch that part. Like, are you all caught up on it?
Yeah, I just watched the Sunday's episode last night because I don't have cable, so I just watched Food Plus to keep up with the new
stuff. What was the episode before that where Boyle, you know, the hilarious little guy who he loves cooking, he said that the only thing he had common with their boss is that they go to the same bank, and it showed a clip of him putting his hands, and he goes, guess who? And he goes, NYPD, shoot your hands in the air. And he's like, ah! And he's like screaming.
Yeah, the way he screamed was so funny, man. Because that idea, because again, it's like that idea in itself, okay, pretty funny. But Joe Lutrullio, the way he did, like, reacted to the gun is what made it, man. It was so funny.
I love that guy. He is so funny in the way. Whenever he tries to talk about sex with the other girl, he always says something really gross, and she's like, ew!
I love that character, too. All the characters. Terry Crews does a great job on that show, and Rosa is...
I love them all.
She's kind of doing the Aubrey Plaza April thing from Parks, where it's like she plays it up like she's a hard ass or whatever. But
and
really,
I absolutely love the captain, how he never has facial expressions.
and dude, even when he's describing something as fun, I think on like this week's episode, he was like, okay, yes, this is actually a good time, right before he like makes a speech to everybody. It's just the way he says it is like, it's just funny, man. They do a good job writing that show.
He'll just be stone faced and go, this is the happiest I've ever been in my life. And he's
that's so great, man. I love
there's
it.
There's one where really the cat, Jake was trying to figure out what his middle name was. He knew it was like, what is the captain name? It was Captain Ray Holt, and his middle name was Jay, and he goes, Jay, what is his middle name? And he's coming up with all these things. He goes, my middle name is in fact Jacob. And he goes, what? Because he's like, because that's his name. And just the way he goes, what? And then it like the episode ended right then,
ends with him doing that. Yeah. And on the week before last episode, see, I know that you like the stuff that kind of like that humor when something just like lingers and lingers and just keeps going. He was like, I forget, is it Santiago? Is that the attractive, the other detective that he works with?
Amy Santiago.
When she found out that he invited her boyfriend, even though she wanted to break up with her boyfriend, and they're in the lobby, and he's like, whoa. And it just keeps going and going and going, man.
Yeah,
he's
just like, I love the gag with the demonic dolls in the room. Whenever he'd walk in, he'd go, bah!
That was a very, very weird part. That was weird. Funny stuff, man.
And he goes, let me just look here in the closet, and he opens up and he's like, ah, there's like more dolls in there. That was so funny.
And he just left the room. And that's great. It's a good show, man.
Terry Crews is so funny on there, and I still last season he was talking about like he hated his brother-in-law, and the captain, he's like, why do you hate your brother-in-law? And he goes, he makes me feel like a weakling. And he goes, you? Because, you know, Terry Crews is all muscular. And so they show the flashback, and Terry is trying to open this jar of pickles. And you see this big old black dude. You don't even see his head in the frame. He goes, oh, what's the matter? Tiny Terry can't open his pickles. It was so funny, and I just always think of that. Tiny Terry can't open his pickles.
It's great, man. I hope it keeps going strong, and they keep an audience to it and give it a chance and let it last a long time. It's really good, you know. And I'm going to check out this other one that you recommended. I forgot what it was called, but the one on USA was
it's called Playing House.
I'm going to check that one out, too.
Playing House.
Okay,
it's a
cool.
funny show. And another thing to show you how geeky I am and how much I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I act out the opening credits where first Amy shoots a gun and then Boyle, he goes like, "Wah!" And then you see... like, they each do this little thing they do in the opening credits where they freeze frame
yeah.
them. I act that out every time.
Like, what do you mean? Like, you stand up and do it, like, in front of Heather? And she,
I
like,
do it. I do it sitting
it?
Down, but, yeah, I act out. You know how Amy, she will do the finger gun? She'll go, pow, pow, like that. And
yeah,
then, then they show Gina. She does this kind of, like, hand jazz thing move.
Yeah.
I do like that. I love it every time.
Okay. You're going to have to video that next time and send it to me the next time you watch it.
I don't know if I could have that floating out there in the world, but...
You got a rat couple, my friend. You guys are doing big things these days.
My wife will vouch for me that I do that. It's just... Okay. That's how the show gets me into such a great mood when it does that. I just love it.
It is a good one, man. I love it.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine brings
me... Almost everybody I talk to that's seen it enjoys it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Pure joy is what it brings me.
There you go. You're really liking Flash, huh?
I love the Flash. It makes me laugh. It's hilarious. I mean, it's got good, cool action stuff, but it also will have funny moments. Like, have you watched any of it?
I've watched a little bit of it with Lawrence because him and my sister are really big into it, but I mainly just kind of look at my phone. It's not pulling me in.
You look at your phone? What?
No,
you
I'm
put
sorry.
That phone down.
I'm sorry. I can't get into it. I'm not a big fan of it.
Put that phone right down, mister.
but I do. Hold on. Sorry. I'm in my car right now. I'm rolling my windows down. It's getting a little hot breathy in here. But yeah, I love the fact that like Lawrence is into it and that you're into it. And it like makes me want like Lawrence to be able to hear the parts that you talk about, you know, like whatever parts you talk about, I want him to hear that. And
yeah.
It's cool. Same with Chuck. Like he really likes the show Chuck. And
that's awesome.
It's funny that, yeah, it's cool.
Likes action and adventure, but with humor and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
There's this great part where the Flash, you know, Barry, he's running real fast on a treadmill. They're trying to figure out how fast he can run. And he's just, like, excited about it. Like, oh, let's see if I can run this fast backwards. And you just see him. He shoots off the treadmill and flies into the wall. Like, he has moments where he acts like a total spaz and, like, hurts himself. And that's what's funny
that's
is
cool.
he heals really fast. His metabolism is really fast, so he actually heals really fast and... There's a part where Green Arrow's trying to train him, and, you know, Barry's like, you can't even hit me, I'm so fast, and Green Arrow shoots him in the back, you know, with an arrow, and he's like, oh, you just shot me, and he goes, you heal fast, you know, just like, it's funny
that's
how
awesome.
They kind of work the humor into it.
Yeah, that's good. It's necessary, because otherwise it might get a little mundane. Did you watch Arrow? Do you watch that show?
I have fallen behind on it, but I did watch the recent Flash crossover just because I had to watch it. I was like, oh, Flash is on here. I'm going to watch it. And Heather, while we were watching it, Heather was like, we ought to binge watch Arrow. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Because right now she is binge watching The Good Wife with Julianna Margulies.
Oh, my dad loves that show.
And on Hulu, I watched most of season one with her, and now she's on season two. She's trying to binge watch it.
That's cool.
Like the whole run. And there was one day where we watched, I'm not kidding, we watched like 10 episodes of that thing. And I go, can we please go back to regular TV? I just got to take a break from the courtroom. Because it's all court things every episode, you know. But it's a good show. It's a really smart show.
I haven't watched one episode of it.
Yeah, The Good Wife is one of those shows where you feel like you're more intelligent after watching it. Like, hey, I know all about the law and court and stuff like that.
Objection.
Yeah, sustained, you know. But, yeah, that's a good show. I mean, she's really into it. And I'll admit, just sitting there watching it with her, like, yeah, this is a good show.
That's cool. Yeah, I've heard it's, I think my sister's pretty crazy about that one too. The one that I want to watch, but you have to have Amazon Prime to watch, is it's called Suits. I think it was on FX. My dad was really into it.
It's on USA.
It's on USA. Okay, yeah. And it's a good show, man. Like the little bit part, I've seen like 3 episodes, and I really want to watch more, but I don't have Amazon Prime. So.
I watched season one, the entire season, and I never picked it up for season two. And it is a good show. It's a smart show. It's about lawyers. It's very entertaining. It's a cool show.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Did you see the mid-season finale of Walking Dead?
Yes. Did you?
Yeah. I watched it night before last. What did you think?
The problem I've had with this season is that the biggest threat were the cannibals at Terminus, and they ended that storyline pretty fast. And I almost like how they dispatched him, and, you know, Rick chopped the guy up with a machete. But then they went into this storyline with cops in a hospital, and I never thought it was that compelling. I didn't think they were much of a threat. I didn't think it was that interesting. And so when they all go to get Beth, I didn't think they were that threatening.
Because they're so good now. It's weird. It's like they're so used to, and like they're organized, and the group that is there is a very poor group. They don't have any dummies unless the writers feel that someone needs to act stupid in the near future, which they sometimes do. But that's the deal. Like, they had everything well planned out, and that's kind of neat to see. But at the same time, there's not a lot of tension, you know.
Yeah, they had the main lead cop, and I guess you could call her the villain, right? She wasn't much of a villain, was she?
No, because she seemed to genuinely kind of care about the...
I mean, I thought she was a nut job. She's like, we're doing good. We're doing good here. But basically what they do is they go find people and bring them to the hospital and say, we saved your life. Now you're basically a slave working off your wages. You're working off any food you eat or whatever. And so now they have people waiting on them. It's kind of a weird idea. I'm not sure it got fleshed out very well. And in fact, did you think it was weird how Rick wants to exchange their cops for Beth and
Lori?
Wait, what's her name? God,
her name was Lori.
No, that's his wife who died. Carol.
I was very close.
So Rick wants to trade their cops for Carol and Beth, right? Well, they just cut to them. Carol's awake and she's in a wheelchair and Beth's pushing her. There was no exchange, no part where Rick calls them on the walkie-talkie or anything, or you never saw Dawn, who was the head of the cops, reacting to anything. It just cuts to them exchanging, right? And I thought that was weird that they skipped over.
I didn't really notice that, but you're right. I mean, I did notice it, but I didn't raise any questions. But I think that is weird. That is weird that they did that.
It would have been interesting to see how Dawn reacted to that, but instead they're like, no, let's just cut to the end where they're exchanging. And then I thought the death that happens at the end was so abrupt and out of nowhere. My dad said he cried at that, and I said, how? I had no reaction. I was just numb to the whole thing. I just was like, how did that just happen? What's going on? You know, it just was so confusing, you know?
April cried too. She was very emotional that Beth died. She really liked that character and wanted her and Daryl to hook up. And
I can understand that.
I guess that's how life works too. But it was kind of crazy that Beth was like, oh, now I'm going to stab you with scissors. It's like, well, I mean, you know, Beth, you know how to kill. Like, if you're going to take those scissors at her, you're probably going to need to go for her throat, I would assume. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I think she would have been able to take her out maybe if she would have.
You know,
it's just weird.
It was more. Do you ever watch The Talking Dead?
No, never watched one episode of it.
What was more upsetting about her death was that afterwards on The Talking Dead, that actress is on there and she was sobbing and crying over it all. And it made you more upset. It's like, you know, you were mad at the show writers for doing that to her. And she goes, we were all like a family. We would all eat dinner together and we'd hang out. And in the off season, we'd go shopping and we were just really good friends. And I'm never going to see them again. And you're like, oh my God.
Gee, that's just crazy.
It's kind of bum me out. But the problem I have with that show is that they kill off cast because I guess it's expected that people would die, but I'm numb to it all. I don't know. I just think they dropped the ball with the last season. I enjoy the show and stuff, but I honestly, at the end of, like, I'm going to say the last four episodes, I would go, okay, when the episode would end. And you really, that's not the reaction you want from a viewer when you're putting a show out, is it? For them to go, okay. And that's the way I was ending each episode. Like, whatever with that.
You know, I mean, it's weird. I, like, when they got rid of the cannibals so fast, you know, part of me was happy because it's like, all right, good. Well, finally, like, it's not going to drag out all season. They dealt with it in the best way they could. Like, it seems like they're almost becoming professionals now. It's like they have a code that they live by and they have, like, a strong squad and they take care of business, you know? So that's kind of what I was excited about. But at the same time, that, you know, sometimes those long, drawn-out tensions, like, that's what makes a show. You know, that's what makes it entertaining. That's what keeps you coming back. And so there's pros and cons to that. And I'm upset that Beth is gone. I, you know what I mean? I feel like they could have, if they needed to kill off somebody, they could have killed off somebody.
The
I don't like, and I don't subscribe to the theory that you need to kill people to make the show interesting. It's like, this week on Lost, someone will die. It's like, well, who cares? Like, the show should just be good. It should be entertaining and it should draw you in. Well, okay, I don't even write a show, but I'm saying, like, I don't think that needs to be true to make a show good. I feel
you
like the writing can be
balance.
You know,
the big dramatic moments with the slow moments. And I don't think the show they've ever been good at doing that, honestly.
Yeah,
and sometimes they progress the action forward by somebody doing something stupid. Like, remember when Sasha, she's like, "Oh, your friend is out there. I'm gonna help you. I'll go take him out for you because he's your friend." And they walk over to the window alone, just her and that guy, and he knocks her unconscious. I'm like, why did you do that?"
that was so stupid. That was very, very stupid. And also, when Beth and Daryl even getting split up the way that they did was so stupid, because it's like, so you're in the apocalypse, okay, and you had a prison, and that just got overran. Now you're in a house, and you think it was a dog that knocked, so then the next time you don't check. No.
You always check.
It's just like, you just always check. Like,
look
the writers
out the window
just made
first.
A zombie break through a window and then make them run away? It seems like that would have been so much more believable. You know what I mean?
They never even explained that funeral home, why everything was nice and clean, why there was food there. I thought maybe the people who captured Beth set that place up to capture people, but they never really explained that, did they?
That was the other thing. There was like all these perfectly lined cupboards, and they're like, "Someone's here," and they've been here recently.
Yeah.
Let's just sit down and eat their stuff, and then zombies will come. It was like, well, what's the point of that even being in there? Like, I mean, to justify the fact that there was food to give them, I don't know.
Not to mention, okay, the part with the father, the pastor guy, he climbs under the church, makes a hole in the floor, then he goes out to that school. Then all of those walkers follow him back. They have to, you know, open the doors to get him in. Then all the walkers get in, and they all have to leave, and they pretty much ruin their place that they are staying at.
I know.
That guy was such a jackass.
I kind of think I would have maybe just let him die out there.
I didn't understand why he did any of that, but I read someone said he wanted to investigate. When they killed the Terminus people, he thought they killed them in cold blood. He didn't understand that they were cannibals. So he went to the school to investigate, and he saw that burnt foot, and he knew that, yes, they were cannibals. And I was like, you piece that together? Oh, my God. I guess I'm not paying attention.
Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's genius. I didn't know why that was happening.
I didn't think that was fleshed out at all.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But it makes sense now that I hear that theory. It's like, yeah, okay, that would make sense, because I would probably be freaking out too. But It's just, I don't know. I don't know what's going to end up happening with the show. I mean, I don't know if there's a definite, like, period and an end in the comics or not. I've never read any of them. I do like the show a lot. It's one of my favorite shows. Some of the things on it drive me nuts, but overall, the feeling that I get, I love the characters. A lot of people bag on it, and I'm like, I don't get it. These actors are doing a great job here. Like, it's a really well-made show. I think there are some things that drive you crazy, but it's a zombie movie.
I have a love-hate relationship with it. I mean, I never miss an episode. I always watch it, and I enjoy it. I get excited about certain zombie kills and stuff like that. There's times where it drives me nuts. And I don't think it's ever, it's like I want it to be fantastic, and sometimes it gets close to fantastic. That very first episode where Carol helps them escape Terminus, that was a fantastic episode. It was really good. You know,
that was a great episode.
It has moments of greatness.
Really cool.
And I just want it to be consistently great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's it's consistency is key. And sometimes, it just doesn't happen, but it's okay. I think overall for the majority of the show, I'm very happy with it. But I'm like, man, what is going to happen with these people? Because you just want them to find a place, and you want them to be safe forever. But apparently what this season has taught us and what last season has taught us is that, like, that just doesn't exist in this world. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, you're just always going to be on the move.
Wagon Train, like the TV show Wagon Train. Like, they just continuously travel. You know, Battlestar Galactica, it was like them in space going from place to place while stories happen. I honestly wouldn't mind that on The Walking Dead, say if they had a nice convoy going from town to town, stopping, fighting off walkers, getting supplies, maybe helping people in that area, but keep moving like a wagon train. I think that would be a cool thing to do on the show.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, it's weird. It's just a weird thing to think about, because, like, you're going to run out of supplies eventually. So you got to settle down and set up like a farm or a garden somewhere, because you can't just keep, wandering. Canned goods aren't going to be good forever. And I know there's a lot of them out there, but eventually it's going to dwindle down. So something has to happen where, like, I don't know. Something's got to give.
Shows like this, like Lost or Battlestar Galactica, they had to finally go, okay, we've got to pick an end date and work towards it. And the shows were the better for it, working towards an ending. I think eventually The Walking Dead is going to realize, dude, we got to work towards something. We've got to work towards something. Or we got to bring some new blood and get some new writers or something. Because eventually you've got to lead somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
You've
got to
work
towards
something.
They're planning to go with this show, but it can't go forever.
They've cast a companion series, like a whole new cast, Walking Dead, but in a different part of the United States. And
no way.
Yeah, and it's going to air in the off season of The Walking Dead. When Walking Dead's off, this other Walking Dead will be on. And they're filming, I believe they've just cast the pilot, and I think it will be picked up, and there will actually be two different Walking Dead series going on.
Holy smokes, that's crazy.
The reason
that's
being
so crazy.
This is like the number one show on television when it's on. It gets phenomenal ratings. So they're like, let's create another one. And so they're going to have a whole different show with a different cast somewhere else. And it may be pretty cool. You never know.
I had no idea, dude. That sounds really, really cool. Like, really, really neat. That's great. Well, there you go. That's good. That's good to know. I had no idea.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's me, Baloo.
So have you been playing Ocarina of Time or what?
Okay. No. Here's the reason. Played it. Emma played it the first couple of days, and I sat there and watched her. I would help her along with stuff. And then we like all got the flu, and just our house was just needed to be sprayed with Lysol, and we're kind of getting back into the groove. And speaking of Zelda, have you seen that new footage of Zelda that's floating out there?
Uh, I'm so sorry that I did not reply to your text yesterday or whenever that was. No, I have not seen it. Please describe it in vivid, colorful detail for me.
It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you've ever played Red Dead Redemption.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of Red Dead Redemption, but you're Link and you're in Hyrule and you're riding a horse, you're picking apples off a tree, you're shooting arrows while riding at enemies. The graphics look just freaking amazing, dude.
Wow. Is this for the Wii U or is this going to be for like a new console years later?
It's the Wii U. The Wii U.
What? Oh, and man. That sounds really cool.
Just look up Zelda Wii U gameplay. And it's got the guy who created Zelda, Miyamoto.
Shigeru Miyamoto? Miyamoto. I was yelling it out the other day when you guys were talking about it. And you couldn't come up with his first name or whatever. I was like, it's Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah, Shigeru Miyamoto. He is sitting there playing the game. Or, no, he's not playing the game. A guy's playing it next to him, and he's talking about it. He's like, oh, you know, he's just kind of talking, and I don't understand what he's saying. But the footage on the TV is awesome.
Dude, I have to see this. Like, I have to. This is amazing.
Dude,
I
you're gonna
can't wait.
Freak.
I haven't played a Zelda game in so long, man. It's been too long, but can't wait.
You were gonna
now is that it? Do they show you dungeons, or they just kind of show you gallivanting on his own out in Hyrule Field?
They show Link kind of standing in a field of grass, and he's hops on a horse, and he's riding around. He's standing on like a cliff, and you see Hyrule, and then he shows you the Wii Pad. Is that what it's called? It's like looks like a little tablet controller.
Yeah, they call it the gamepad. That's what they call
it. Yeah, the gamepad. You see a map of Hyrule on the screen to show where you're at. And it just shows the guy running around the screen and shooting things and stuff like that. It looks pretty awesome.
That's cool.
I was like, God, I got to get Emma a Wii U. Because, you know, Emma has gotten really excited about games lately. She goes on YouTube. She watches people play games. And I'm like, my God, I got to get this girl a game system. And I moved the Xbox into her room, and the only game I have that she really wanted to play was Star Wars Legos.
That is a great one. That's a really good one to get people broken up games with, too. Like, if you know somebody that's not all that into games, that's a really nice one to get them into it. But I would say, the Wii U is awesome. My daughter, Charlie, she just turned 3 in October, but before she was 3, she was playing the Super Mario 3D World with us, which is a lot of fun because it's kind of a cross between like Mario 64 and the newer Mario Brothers games that were out on the Wii, where you could do co-op. So you can do up to 4 players on one map, but it's all 3-dimensional. It's really like cute and vivid and colorful. And Charlie can beat the first level on her own if she plays it, but she can also tag along, and you can, if there's a part that's too hard, you can go into like a little bubble which carries you through, and then she knows how to unpop the bubble so she can keep playing. And she has this thing where she has to be able to jump on the flag, so everybody always has to let her jump on the flagpole at the end first, and then we can all jump on, because man, she gets angry if she doesn't get on that pole. It's hilarious. But yeah, man, that is like probably, you should get it. I mean, when it first came out, there was really nothing on it. But now there's a lot of good titles on it now. I mean, if you're a Mario lover, like, to me, Mario games and Nintendo games are a lot like Disney. Like, I'm always going to be drawn to it. You know what I mean? And for a long time, people were saying, why is Nintendo continuing to make hardware? Why don't they just switch over like Sega did and make software and put it out on the 360 and PS3, which is a pretty valuable argument, I think. But, hey, they kind of blew everybody's socks off with the Wii. The Wii U is kind of like, meh. But there's if she is into Lego, too, there's a game called Lego City, and that's really cool. It's kind of like a cross between Grand Theft Auto and the Lego games, in that you kind of, like, free roam throughout the city and solve crime, and you're looking for this one bad guy. So it's really neat. And me and Lawrence have recently, speaking of watching gameplay, we've recently purchased this thing called an Elgato capture device. It was like, I want to say $200. Lawrence saved up his money. He sold pumpkins because we had like a little pumpkin patch in our backyard. And he sold pumpkins to friends and family and raised enough money to buy half of it. And it's cool, man. It captures HD footage, and then we just record on my little Zoom H4n, my little portable recorder. And I haven't posted any on YouTube yet, but it's really cool. It's very easy, and it captures game footage really nice. And I don't know, man. It might be something that Emma and you, because you guys are hilarious when you're on the podcast. And it would be, I would love to watch your YouTube channel if you guys just started playing. Like, let's say you get Super Mario 3D World or this new Zelda game, and you guys just both play and talk while you play it. It would be really fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun for you guys to do that.
That would just figuring out how to do it. But she loves
it. It's really, really easy. It's like, it's so easy. I've tried a few other capture devices for like retro games, but this Elgato device, it's like a little bit bigger than an iPhone, and you just like plug your HDMI from your game into it, and then you plug an HDMI that goes up to your TV, and there's also one a little mini USB that goes into your USB. You load the software on, and it's hardly any troubleshooting at all. It's really, really cool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because the videos,
it has people like playing Mario Brothers, and they'll be talking while playing it, you know?
Right. So what I do is I have a portable recorder. So you would probably have to like get her a headset and get you a headset and just record on your laptop or record on your little MP3 recorder or whatever.
Right.
And then I just go into Windows Movie Maker, which is free. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what we do at the beginning is we'll say, it's kind of silly, but I'll say up, down, up, down, up, down while I'm going through a menu and moving the menu up and down. So then that way I can sync my audio and then you're good to go. You just kind of put it on there.
Cool.
It's pretty straightforward, actually.
Are you going to make some videos and post them?
Yeah, we've got three made. The thing is, Lawrence really wants to do Minecraft. And Minecraft is like, if you don't kind of have a goal that you're working towards, it kind of lends for boring discussion. You know what I mean? So if you're not like, today we build a house, and if you don't already kind of have most of your material and stuff gathered in that game to do it, you basically like spend the whole time kind of like looking for things. So we did two, and I thought it went well, but then we did a third one. And it was really boring. Lawrence was like, that was boring. I'm like, I don't think anyone's going to want to watch this. So, I don't know. We're trying to find a happy medium. But games like Mario would be so much fun because there's always something goofy happening. And, you know, it would be a lot of fun.
Emma watches Minecraft videos, too.
Yeah, does she watch Stampy Longnose? That's, like, the best guy out. He's from the UK. She watches
somebody, some guy named Swimming Bird, some guy named Surratt. And
okay, don't know these
guys. Those are like her favorites, and she'll sit there, and I'll hear her laughing in her room, and I'll go in there, and go, "What you watching?" She goes, "Oh, I'm watching Surratt," and it's just like some guy playing a video game. You never see his face. You see the game playing and him talking over it, and he says stuff that cracks her up. So it's like I'm just like, "Oh wow, okay." And you know, the guy has his own channel, and she'll leave this stuff playing all day long, and. What's funny is recently she watched all three Back to the Future movies. She goes, "Do we have Back to the Future?" And I go, "Yeah, why?" She goes, "Can I watch them?" And I go, "You want to watch all of them?" "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay." So I bust out the Blu-rays and she watched all three of them. And I go, "What did you think?" She goes, "Oh, I loved them. They were great." And I was like, "What made you want to watch them?" She was like, "Oh, I watched somebody playing a Back to the Future game, and I was curious about the movie, so I want to watch movies." And she had been watching videos of someone playing this, I guess Telltale Games did a Back to the Future series.
I'm wondering how that is. I've seen screenshots. I'm like, those games, apparently the Walking Dead ones are amazing, so I wonder how the game is.
Well, she really got involved in the story and stuff, but she didn't understand, like, who they were and stuff. So after she watched the movies, now she knows who Doc and Marty are and everything, and she will watch the gameplay, and she loves it.
Oh, man, that's so neat. Man, this YouTube thing, the way that people have their channels and that they do things, it is just so entertaining, and it gets me inspired, but unfortunately, I have not been able to get off my butt and get an idea out there because I just feel like I have some decent ideas that would work, but these people, they just get in there and they do it and they're faithful and they're consistent. Like, have you seen Nerdy Nummies? Have you seen that YouTube channel?
No.
Dude, it's this cute girl. She's like probably 25 years old or so. She lives in Hollywood. She just makes easy treats, like, that are very easy to replicate and to do on your own. And she just gears them and kind of, like, designs them cake box style to be, and it's all centered around video games or pop culture. You would love it. I know Emma would love it, and you guys could probably make some. She makes, she got three or four videos where she makes Minecraft treats. She's got three or four videos where she does Mario stuff. She made candy glass like Breaking Bad. She does like Pokemon stuff. She does Game of Thrones. She made a TARDIS for Doctor Who. I mean, she just does all sorts of stuff, and she's really funny. Charlie, 3 years old, been watching it since she was like a 1 year old. Absolutely loves it. Like, loves the show because the girl's funny. You know, she's like, does these cute little things, and it's just, and it's not hard stuff to make. It's really simple and easy to do. And she always kind of tries to dress thematically, however, for whatever she's doing. And she'll have like some stuff set up in the back. But dude, one of her videos got 10 million views. And almost every one of her videos has at least 1 million. Most of them have 2 million. And YouTube did a huge campaign with her. She was on like Times Square, like big, huge billboard, like Nerdy Nummies, like
what
on YouTube.
What is her name
like,
again?
She's probably making millions of dollars now. It's ridiculous.
What is her name again?
Her name is Rosanna Pansino, but the name of the channel, I'm jotting things down that I'm going to text you, because I'm going to text you about the Stampy Long Nose Minecraft guy, because I think Emma will like him. But I'm also going to send you a Nerdy Nummies link, because it's really, really cute and
so
good.
So it's Nerdy Nummies?
Nerdy Nummies, yep.
Okay, Nerdy Nummies.
I'll send you a link. It's really good, though. And there's just so many of those out there. It's like me and Lawrence, because Lawrence has recently kind of gotten into wrestling and wrestling figures. And I have some of my old ones that I've saved that he plays with from time to time. But I'm like, oh, I bet you there's probably like a really cool YouTube channel with a guy that does it. And sure enough, there's like three or four guys that have a huge following just for the action figures of wrestling things. Some of them make like custom arenas, and some of them, you know, customize the figures. And it's all nerdy, but it's like still there's a following. And it's like just the reason that you guys started Nowhere in Mulberry is because you wanted to be able to talk about stuff you like and to hear feedback about it and to make someone's day. And that's what these people do, man. And some of them have 50,000 subscribers. Like, 50,000 subscribers. Can you imagine that? It's like, and some of them have 10 million subscribers. It's like absolutely insane, man.
It is insane. Sometimes
and with
I
the
wonder,
technology
like,
nowadays,
man,
you know, the cameras, you just get... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What if the show would have been on YouTube the whole time, our show, and we were on camera? It would be a totally different ballgame, maybe.
It would. But your format, see, the deal is what's great now, and a lot of people are doing this too, they're synergizing in a way where, okay, so you guys have the audio portion locked down. Like, and I love it because I'm not glued to a screen. I can put it in my ears, in my headphones, I can do work. I can do what I have to do. I can go about my business, but and it's in my ears, and that's nice and all. And you could do something similar on that to YouTube, but YouTube, like, it sometimes it, you know, it's trying to stream the video so hardcore that you can't listen when you're out on your network or whatever as easily,
totally.
You know. And you can't lock your phone when you have YouTube on. Can you do that on your phone? I have an iPhone. I can't lock the screen. It like stops the audio, which I hate. I wish they would work that out.
Yeah, it's a different kind of audience. Like, what our show, it wouldn't lend to like a 3-hour download on YouTube, and you'd have to sit there and keep your eyes on the screen. It just wouldn't work, really. We'd have to do like a almost like a highlight show that lasted like maybe 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, 20 minutes max. But what I think you guys could do, especially with this, with these Let's Plays, you know, that's the official YouTube name for watching video games. It's a Let's Play. If you and Emma can work something out like that, or you and Bill even could work something out to where you guys play online with people and just record your sessions every now and then, I think you can maybe start to build more of an audience, even from people that aren't already listening to your podcast. Then they'll go, oh, these guys have a podcast too. And I think you could just synergize it in that way. And all the while, if you do it, let's say you do it with Emma, where you guys start picking up older games that you remember playing when you were younger and you want her to experience, or even newer games like on the Wii U. If you guys were to do that, I mean, okay, so what if no one ever watches it? You probably still had a blast capturing stuff, that you can go back and watch when you're older and when Emma's grown up, and it'd still be such a treasure for you to have. So it's not like it's a waste of time. It's a good thing. You know what I mean? And I think that your personality, and as funny and as easygoing as you are, and Emma is right there with you. I've heard her on the show several times. If you find the right game that makes you guys come up with a good chemistry, you can't lose, man. I don't think you could lose with that.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Steven's addicted to Minecraft also. I want to see a Steven Minecraft video.
Is he really?
Yeah, he plays Minecraft a lot.
I had no idea. Does he play it on the Pocket Edition, like on a phone, or does he play on a PC?
He plays the Xbox 360 version, but he actually he bought an Xbox One. He's been playing Sunset Overdrive a lot, so he's been gaming a lot.
Oh, cool. That's weird. Why the sudden change?
I think he'd been told me he'd been playing Minecraft for a long time on the Xbox 360, and then recently, I guess, the price dropped pretty dramatically on the Xbox One.
It did, man. So what was it, $500 last year? Now $350 or something like that?
It was... what happened is they dropped the Kinect from it, so you can just buy it without a Kinect, and it's $329 now.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, because my dad bought one, which I thought was silly at the time. He has no time to play games. But, but yeah, he bought an Xbox One, and I was just like, he's never used the Kinect, not once. It's kind of silly.
That's funny. Yeah, that's crazy, it is pretty useless, except for telling the Xbox to shut up or something. Yeah.
I really am curious about PCZ Steven's world. I want to see what he's built. I'm going to try to get him to do a video and like do a video tour that he can text message me or email me, because I'd love to see his creation.
The world of PCZ Steven. Well, Adam, I see I've had you on the phone for quite a bit now, and I want to thank you for being on the show, the second ever ETL Daily.
Thank you, sir. I'm honored.
Adam Sexton, and now Adam from the Bay Area. But we'll always know Adam from the Bay Area was first, right?
That's right.
Is there an Adam competition we don't know about? There's like you're competing right now, or
I've actually been stalking Adam Sexton on every form of social media that I can, trying to dig up dirt so that I can bury him. But man, he's just too good of a guy. I can't find anything bad. I guess I'm gonna just have to get used to the fact that there's more than one Adam for the entertainment landfill crew. So just gonna have to get used to that.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to live with. I understand, you know.
And it's also really hard on me, because every time he calls and leaves a voicemail, he leaves like extremely well thought out, relevant feedback. And all I ever do is call and go, "Hey guys, great show, Adam from the Bay Area." So I'm like, I don't want to call and just say that again. I can't look like a complete and total dud. Adam Sexton's like bringing in up all this like really a very good tangible conversation pieces, and mine are just like nothing. So that's why I've been kind of holding back on my feedback, because I just feel so inferior to Adam Sexton.
You have been my cheerleader for a long time. When you tell me, "Hey, great show, this part cracked me up," that always makes me happy, and it makes me feel good, and makes me want to keep doing the show. I need that.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad I could help.
There's nothing worse than putting out a show and hearing nothing, because it's kind of like, ooh,
yeah,
okay.
I can imagine. And just so everybody knows, and so you know, and so that Adam knows, I'm not serious about that at all. But I mean, he does give really good feedback. But I'm not going to say anything now. Like it's all good. It's, you know, I love the feedback that he gives. But it's really good. So I just wanted to clear that up. I didn't want to have
you're so funny. It's like
hater.
Everyone knows you're joking, but you have to say that you're joking.
Why? Why do I do this? Why? Why, James? Why?
It's like, oh, wait, he hasn't been investigating Adam Sexton.
Well, no, obviously that part, but like, you know, I'm not like, I don't know. I better stop now. This was fun, man, and I can't wait to hear more people on. Hopefully we can get Rick. And I mean, you get Sean on here. what the heck, man? Sean has like been so busy lately. It would be nice to hear him be on the show. And
I want to talk to Sean about
a great show.
About him finishing film school and all that stuff. It'd be cool to see what's going on with him.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really cool. Well, right on, man. Thanks for having me. The show was fun, and I can't wait to listen to the first 30 minutes that I missed, and I can't wait to listen to the pilot episode of ETL Daily. I got to complete that.
So, you better listen cool, to it. Dang it. You're going to hurt my feelings. No, no, thank you. Just kidding, Adam.
I'm glad you told me you were kidding.
Thank you so much for calling in, man. It's been awesome.
No problem. Thank you so much. All right. Have a good day.
All right, man. Check you later.
Right. Check you later. Check you later. All right, man. Have a good one. Have a good day.
Laters.
Bye. What's up, Miguel?
What's up, Miguel? Well, thank you, Adam. All right, guys, that was Adam from the Bay Area. Thank you for being a guest. And if you guys would like to be on the show, ETL Daily, just email me at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Tell me your Skype information or if you would want me to call you on your cell phone. I will need to buy some more Skype minutes, I figured out. So, but it would be fun, you know, we'd just talk about the day's news or the week's news or new trailers or whatever. And we just have fun chatting just like Adam and I just did. And guys, if you are digging the show, let me know that too. You could email me at nimpodcast@gmail.com or you could let me know on Facebook on our ETL fan club. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. This is the second ETL Daily. And for you patrons out there, thank you also for supporting the show. I greatly appreciate it. And keep watching the feed. There will be some more shows here pretty soon. Hopefully we'll get back to doing regular ETL and maybe some more ETL dailies. And if you dig the show, I really want to hear some kind of feedback because I really want to know if I should keep doing this because I'm having a blast and I want to talk to other listeners out there who want to be on the show. We can talk about whatever you want to. And it's been a blast. And until next time, guys, laters.
And free!
Now this is podcasting.